Merle, a little clarification. On this pronouns now, are you saying that's the apostles? Or are you saying that's the Jew and the Gentiles? Which way were you? I wasn't sure I quite understood.
I'm not exactly sure I'm sure on that either.
I should have asked you that, shouldn't I?
You should ask somebody else. I don't believe that we can limit that just to the apostles and prophets in each and every verse there. Because the Apostle Paul was writing the letter, he addressed it to the brethren there at Ephesus. And so therefore, I don't believe we can say that whenever us is a plural pronoun. In other words, it has to refer to more than just the Apostle Paul. It seems, though, that he's writing to the church there. But whenever he speaks about the mystery was revealed, it was that will of God, or in other words, the plan, the revelation was made to the apostles, and it seems to me that in that passage, or that verse, would be referring then to the apostles, because the revelation was not made to man in general, to all people, that it was revealed through the apostles to all.
Well, the reason I was asking that, is I want to try and understand it better. Now, I see where you could work the apostles into that, but it seems to me it's a bit cumbersome. It seems to me it's easier, since you are dealing with plural pronouns, if you're going to make some distinction, basically the Jew and Gentile distinction. Now here's my thought. As you look at this whole thing, the whole key is that this is what he purposed in Christ. It's in Christ. And so what he's done is he's marked out the boundaries, as you said, in predestination. Those in Christ. And the reason I have a problem with us and the apostles, for example, in verse 5, us is the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, it's true in the Bible. There are situations where God predestinated people to certain services, but not to salvation. But in these passages, it looks like he's dealing with those predestinated to salvation and not service. And therefore, we would take in the group. And the key, I think, is he marked out those in Christ. And he says, who made us accepted in the beloved. And everything seems to be he's talking about the purposing of salvation rather than the purposing to work. That's why I was asking that. And then, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13, it says this. But we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. So we can see that we can have a purposing to salvation before the foundation of the world. And it's those in Christ. And that's why I was asking about the pronouns.
I would agree on that. I think sometimes what we get hung up on is this deal of predestinating the individual, like so-and-so is going to heaven, that's it. He's been selected by God for that. But we, by using just the Apostle Paul in that, he was called, but he had to accept that. He had to accept that calling. He obeyed the will of God. He was baptized of his own free will. Whenever Ananias came to him, he says, to arise and be baptized. Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized. And that he did that of his own free will. So therefore, I think we could say that there's a group, which I think I'm in agreement with you on that. If I understand what you're saying, there's a group. Those that are believed in Christ, are predestined to salvation, those will be saved. But the person has to accept that. He has to obey. He has to accept God's plan to enter into that group.
My second question in your study of this, he says, holy and without blame before him in love. In your study, did you have any thoughts about whether in love goes with the next verse or with the verses there? In other words, that in love is a reference to the motivation of God's predestinating, because the completion of the others is that the Christian is to be made holy without blame. Have you reflected on that?
Well, I tied that with both verses. You know, what was previously stated on that is the motivation for why we do it. You know, I mean, why we should be holy, why we should be without blame, because of our love towards God. And that, but it was also that love that what prompted God to do what he did. I mean, that was the reason why he predestinated it, this plan.
I don't want to monopolize, but I'd like to make a comment and have one other question. You know, there's such a wonderful, wonderful message here. To the praise of the glory of his grace. And what's he say? He says, God purposed it, God revealed it, God confirmed it. And there's to the praise of the glory of his grace. If that can't make you do it, brother, there ain't nothing going to make you do it. But the other comment was in your word about mystery. Now, I know often the word mystery refers specifically to the gospel. But I was wondering here if you took and studied or thought about the continuity of mystery. You know, in Ephesians 2, 12 through 18, he shows the mystery specifically he's talking about is the fact that in the church, Jew and Gentile would be reconciled. And then in Ephesians 3, you know, the man, by the church...